Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. I'm your host, Eric. Thanks for joining me for this journey. And thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Just to recap, episode number one, I kind of gave my background, a little bit of an introduction of me and some of my goals in this podcast. And then for the previous two episodes, episode number two and episode number three, we talked about a couple of my main income strategies. And today we're going to discuss the final one. So this is episode number four. This will also be the very last, at least that's the plan, the last teaching podcast before we dive into real trades each week. I'm going to be walking through trades that I'm putting on or considering putting on, and we'll talk about the benefits and the expectation, and then we'll also get to follow, you will get to follow along with me to see if I'm actually making money on my trades or not. So this is a lot of fun. It's always interesting to see people on television and in other mediums who just get to suggest stock all day long, right? Like, oh, you should buy Apple. Oh, sell Apple. You know, definitely get into Bitcoin, or no, I wouldn't touch Bitcoin, blah, blah. And you never get to really hold them accountable, right? You don't get to see if their advice would have made you money or cost you money. And one of the things that I like, a couple years back, a colleague and I actually had a podcast, and each week we suggested two or three trades, and we would start the very next episode before we discussed anything. We'd talk about whether those trades made money or if they lost money. The beauty of options is that it's not simply a, buy the market and wait for it to go up, or sell the market and wait for it to go down. When you have an option, options actually open the door for other decisions to be made. So let's say, you know, in a situation where you own stock and the stock goes lower, there aren't a whole lot of things that you can do with stock to protect yourself against losses. If you're an advanced trader, maybe you would go ahead and sell a similar name in the same industry and create a spread across two companies. But again, it's not the same asset. There still may be other factors that'll make one stock move and not the other. Maybe you decide to sell the industry by selling an ETF. So you're long a company name and then you sell the ETF against it. Again, same situation. Your individual company might be doing something that's contrary to what the industry does. So let's say that there's bad earnings in your company, and that's why your stock went down, but you decided to buy the industry against it to offset. You decide you're long that stock goes down, so your company cost you money, so you decide to short the industry, but the industry overall is having great returns, great enthusiasm about the future. You could actually end up losing money on that spread. It's different than a situation where you are spreading off options against options on the same underlying asset. It changes the game because now, you know, I'm able to buy one price, sell one price, as far as stock prices or strike price goes, and I can do all sorts of just fun stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing. What really shocks me is that there aren't more people trading stock. Trading stock options than there currently are. It's an amazing, like, the statistic, the number of people that are actively involved or even passively involved in the stock market is unreal. I mean, passive management is huge right now. Most of our 401ks give us an option essentially to choose between a handful of funds. That is the definition of passive management from your portfolio standpoint. So even if you're not using your sort of discretionary trading dollars, to trade in the stock market or options market, chances are you have a 401k that is you know, invested in someone, you know, maybe a Vanguard or Janus or some other you know, mutual fund. So most of us have exposure to the movements of the stock market, but so few people actually have knowledge of how to trade options and offset some of their risk, some of their exposure. So again, I like teaching because it's, you know, I consider myself lucky for having gotten into option trading at such an early age, and learning the language and being fluent in that language my whole life, or most of my adult life at least, has really been helpful. It's been helpful in a number of other situations. And so I just look forward to sharing some of that knowledge with you guys. So this will be the last of the teaching episodes, and they're going to be videos to follow on the website, theweeklyoption.com. If you guys ever have any questions, feel free to either reach out to me on the contact form on the website, or you can email me directly at eric@theweeklyoption.com. So without further ado, let's dive in. So one of the things I'll start with is the fact that any option spread that you ever put on, no matter how complex or how simple it is, it's going to be made up of calls and puts, right? If you understand all of the risk dynamics of and characteristics, really, of a call and a put, and what happens when you buy or sell either of them, then chances are you can piece together a profit and loss graph that will let you know exactly where you make money and exactly where you lose money on these spreads. So, or on any trade for that matter. So never let people get, like, don't let the big names of some of these spreads, you know, confuse you or fool you and like, oh my God, that sounds really fancy or it sounds really difficult. It all comes down to calls and puts and what you're doing with each of them. So today's strategy can sound a little more complex than, say, a call spread or even just, selling calls against stock, which was episode number two. This strategy is the Iron Condor, which sounds pretty cool, right? It sounds like, I mean, an Iron Condor, that should be like a massive snake that you would find in the Amazon, or maybe that's the name of like the next Marvel superhero, like coming soon to theaters, the Iron Condor. It's not. It's really simple. I'm going to break it down really, really simply for you today. And if you didn't listen to episode three, please go back and listen to it, because in episode three, we talked about credit spreads. Today, Iron Condors are nothing more than two credit spreads. That's being long the Iron Condor, is having two credit spreads. We're going to sell a call spread and sell a put spread. That's it. So forget the fancy name. I'm going to use it some more, but an Iron Condor is nothing more than selling a call spread and selling a put spread. So if you understand how a call works when you sell it, then you also understand how, and you understand spreads. So the fact that when I sell or buy, when I sell a call and I buy a further out of the money call on the same underlying, then I have created a spread. That spread can never be worth more than the difference between the strikes. And when I sell it, my maximum gain is the amount of money that I receive when I sell it. And my maximum loss is the difference between the strikes and the amount of money I collected. So in last week's episode, we gave a scenario where the underlying stock price is $30. The call spread that we sold was the 32-33 call spread. We sold it for 35 cents. So we received 35 cents per share when we sold that call spread. And our maximum risk was $1, because the difference between the 32 strike and the 33 strike is $1. So that spread can never be worth anything more than that. Even if stock goes to $100 billion, that spread will never be worth more than a dollar. So you have, we collected 35 cents. on a $1 spread. So our maximum loss right off the bat is capped at 65 cents, which is the difference between that $1 and the 35 cents that we received when we put the trade on. That's it. When you add in a condor, an iron condor, that just means that we're also going to go ahead and sell the put spread as well. So we discussed I believe it was the 28-27 put spread, where we have sold the 28 strike, which is closer to our at-the-money stock price, which was $30, right? So we sell the 28 put, and we buy the 27 put. Again, the difference in those strikes is $1, so that put spread can never be worth more than a dollar. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to go ahead and receive 35 cents for selling that spread, which means that our maximum risk, our maximum loss on that spread from day one is 65 cents, which is $1 minus the 35 cents that we collected, 35 cents per share, when we put the trade on. So the value for this iron condor, right, is the most that we can make on this iron condor right off the bat is 70 cents, right? So one of the differences now, because we've collected 70 cents in total, right? We collected 35 cents on the call spread and 35 cents on the put spread. You know that at option expiration, both spreads can't be fully taking a loss. So we know right off the bat with an iron condor, one of those spreads is going to make us money, guaranteed. Stock can't finish, below $27 and above $33. So the beauty of this spread is that instead of, if you remember in last week's episode with the credit spread where we collected 35 cents and we're at risk for 65 cents, well, now we actually have collected 70 cents. So right off the bat, we have moved out our break-even points by quite a lot. And our maximum loss now is not 35, is not the dollar, the difference between the spreads minus 35 cents. Now it's simply that dollar minus 70 cents. So our maximum loss is 30 cents. Now I'll let that sink in. You could put this trade on and know that your maximum risk right off the bat is 30 cents. I like those odds. I like that quite a bit, quite a bit. So this is iron condors are interesting because you're combining so many different features. So right off the bat, we benefit if stock sits still. If the stock price finishes, right at $30 per share, or even, let's say it finishes at $29 or at $31, because we don't care which direction it goes, we actually are going to make money. We get to keep all of our money, all of the money that we brought in. Our break-even prices, right? We collected 70 cents, so our break-even price on the upside is $32.70. And that's because we sold the 32 strike call. We received 70 cents to put the whole spread on. And so basically, anything, if stock finishes anywhere between $30 and $32.70, we have no issue, right? We didn't lose any money, and we go home happy. On the downside, because we sold that 28 strike put and we bought the 27 put, our break-even point is $27.30. So on the downside, we have to look at that 70 cents and subtract it from the upper strike on the put, which is 28. So $28 per share minus 70 cents is $27.30. So now we've created a scenario where as long as stock stays between $27.30 and $32.70, we make money. I mean, that is a huge, huge range. We're basically saying, hey, if on a $30 stock, as long as price doesn't swing essentially 10% to the upside or 10% to the downside, then we're good. And again, the beauty of options is you get to make another option. So let's say that stock does start to go up and we get to the point where you know your the underlying stock price gets to our $32 strike and we start to watch it because we're worried now, right? We only have 70 cents. We're right at our 70 cent point. And but what might I do? Well, you have a couple of options. Chances are that 28 put has just about whittled itself all the way down to nothing. So what happens if I, you know, now that stock has moved on up, what happens if I sell the 30 put instead and I buy in? So I pay, say, 10 cents to buy in that one spread, and I go ahead and I sell another spread. You can actually end up creating a scenario where you lock in money right off the bat. You can create a situation where you automatically are going to, or not automatic, but you're going to make money on the spread. That's what I love about options, is even when I'm sort of at my wit's end, there's always another decision, always another step that I can take to try and make money off of this particular strategy. So we'll be talking more about iron condors in the future. Sometimes I start off with an iron condor. Sometimes I enter an iron condor by selling, by doing sort of a protective sell against the position that I'm already in. So let's say I have a credit spread on and it starts to go against me. I might go ahead and sell the opposite spread against it. Meaning, let's say I'm short the call spread and stock price goes up. I might then decide to go ahead and sell the put spread against the call spread and turn it into an iron condor after the fact. So there are any number of things that can be done. And I could really get into confusing you by throwing in other ways to look at that iron condor. But ultimately, it comes down to calls and puts. It comes down to credits. It comes down to what the spread is and where you lose money or make money at on each individual stock or each individual strike price on that stock. So that's it. My goal, you guys will hear it time and time again, is to make things as simple as possible. I've been around too many guys who want to make things super, super, you know, tricky, or they'll speak of things in their ultimate, you know, in their mathematical form. Like, you know, rather than talking about delta, we can talk about, you know, the second movement of price. What do you do about the second movement of price? And, you know, and we could talk about kurtosis. And, you know, it is important to discuss skew at some point. But again, some of those factors, and I don't want you, you know, you more advanced guys out there, I don't want you to think any less of me because I'm not trying to impress you with my knowledge of, you know, how to look at all of these different functions. Like, I don't just study this, I do this. I've done it for a living. And now I'm going to show you guys and let you follow along as I do it in my personal account. So at the end of the day, make it simple. Keep it simple. Keep your head straight. Keep it simple. And just make money. Like, I don't want to impress you with my knowledge of big words. I want to impress you with my understanding of the market. And more important than impressing you is actually teaching you to actually take action and do the same thing. So looking forward to this journey. Once again, thanks for listening. That's it for our teaching episodes. We are through four episodes now. Episode number 5 will kick off real trades. So hope you guys are excited. I'm looking forward to it as well. Thanks for listening. Definitely subscribe to the podcast. Feel free to subscribe to us on YouTube as well. We'll also have a mailing list on the website, where it'll be great because I'll you know, give you a heads up when I make any changes to my trades, so I can keep in touch with you via the email mailing list, and you know, you guys will obviously get to follow along my weekly trades on the weekly podcast. So have a fantastic week. Thanks again for listening, and I'm gonna be signing out. Next time, you guys get to walk through some real trades with me. All right, See you soon. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.